After our beautiful parish mission yesterday, which was about a Eucharistic revival, the Lord invites us today to think about what he did in the temple. And although we know the story very well, it is always even shocking to think about what Jesus did that day. Even more if we remember that, according to the Gospel of John, this is the very first action performed by Jesus after his first miracle. So he went to Cana, to the wedding feast. That was his first miracle. After that, then Jesus goes to Capernaum and then goes to Jerusalem for Passover. So this was his very first public action in his public ministry in Jerusalem at that time, which is a very unpopular thing to do. And because, unlike us, Jesus did not just react to unforeseen circumstances. That happens to us. We walk and we see something we don't like, and then we feel anger or this or that. Well, the Lord was in complete command of his thoughts and emotions. So everything he did was intentional. If we think about that, about the timing of this event, we really need to wonder and ask why. Why did he act with such violence? Why this kind of unpopular first action? Why at the very beginning of his time in Jerusalem? The main answer is that the Lord was not simply cleansing the temple because he wanted to improve this or that, but he was reforming worship itself. So to put it in a simple way, he didn't just want that, say, lamps would be sold for less money so everyone can have access to those animals, but he wanted to avoid using those animals at all for the sacrifice. If we think about this, this was the normal way to worship for everyone. If you were a Jew, you would come to Jerusalem for Passover. You would go to the temple. And if you're coming from afar, as many people did, then of course you need money changers so that you can have that coin for the temple tax and to purchase those animals, because worship was about sacrificing animals. So when Jesus expels those sellers and drives out those animals, he's not just aiming for more order or for fair prices. He's inaugurating something new in continuity with what they had, but new, a new liturgy, a new worship in which he himself is a temple and a lamb and a priest and a victim. We can actually think about the whole ministry of Jesus, his life here, and it was about this, about instituting this new worship. If we go back to his first miracle, turning water into wine, to that final event before his death of turning wine into his blood. If we think about this reform of worship in the temple, the one temple in Jerusalem, to that evening when he instituted a new sacrifice in the upper room so that we can all celebrate this sacrifice everywhere in the world. Jesus really didn't come just to spend a few years with a few group of people and then everyone else will just have to think or remember what he did. He came, as Pope Benedict beautifully said, he became flesh so that he can become bread. He came to remain with us always in this sacrament. So what Jesus did that day in the temple is really amazing and very, very important. Well, so then what does that event, the cleansing of the temple, mean for us today and here? Let's say two things. First, what takes place in our church, and I mean this building, which is, if you will, our temple, is also amazing and very, very important. Because what takes place here is first and foremost what Jesus himself does again and again. As a priest, as a victim, as a temple, as a lamb, he gives us his own life every time that Mass is celebrated. This is why we will be reminded in the communion antiphon right before communion of that privilege, and we get used to having a church, but of that privilege that is to know that we have this place in which we can worship, to be invited to be here, to call this our house, our home. Blessed are they who dwell in your house, forever singing your praise. And this is a reason for us to really try our best to offer Mass with, as we heard, loving zeal for his house, with true love, with reverence, with beauty, with deep participation. Now, it is fair to say that we try to do that well here. And this leads us to the second point. The question then is, what takes place in that other temple, in the temple of our souls? To be honest, and we know this, we can perform all the ceremonies perfectly and yet be far from God. Origen said in the 3rd century that our souls are sometimes like that temple, and they are filled not with animals but with attachments. And Jesus comes with the whip of his truth to expel those attachments so that we can worship well and love God. So to think about worship, to think about good liturgy, if you will, ultimately means to think about our lives and our hearts. What fills our hearts? What prevails? Charity? Does the Eucharist make us better, better disciples? A sincere effort for a Eucharistic revival is actually a wonderful thing for Lent, because it is about conversion, turning towards Christ. And the Eucharist does that, redeems us more and more, brings us closer to encounter, as we heard in the second reading, the power of Christ crucified. The more we enter into this mystery, then the more we will be changed more and more into people that resemble Christ. Now, without question, more or less, but there is some cleansing to do in our souls. And that is what Christ wants to do, because he knows us very well, as we heard as well. He knows human nature very well. He understands, and he knows what needs to be cleansed. He is coming with the whip of his truth and his love. So this is a good time for us to think about what needs to be driven out from our lives and to freely allow Jesus to do it. If we try to make room for him, he will fill that room with charity. We will be more like him. And this is the worship that he wants.